Okay, we're starting a few lines up on Zion Mabez. V'amar Rabbi Yochanan Mishim Rabbi Shimon Ben Yochai. Kolakoveh makam l'tfilaso oivav noflim tachtov. Anybody that has a makam kavua for their tefila, so his enemies fall from before him. And often when we think of enemies, we picture in our heads, you know, these conquering armies. But oivav could be anybody that's up against you. It could even be people that are up against you in business. It could be your yetzahara. It could be anything. Oivav shenemar v'samti makam la'ami li'Yisrael unetativ. V'shachein tachta v'lo yirga is od v'lo yisifu b'nei avlo la'anoso kasher barishona. So v'samti makum na'am Yisrael in the tativ, when I gave them a place to be and he planted them there, and v'shachein tachta, when they reside over there, so then v'lo yirga is od, their enemies won't start up with them anymore, v'lo yisifu b'nei avlo la'anoto, and they won't be tortured anymore by b'nei avlo, by their enemies, as it once had been kasher barishona. Now, this pasuk though is actually talking about during the days of the Beis Hamikdash, when the Beis Hamikdash stood, that the enemies were going to stop fighting with them. So, Rav Huna asked the stira. We actually have almost an identical pasuk in two different places in Tanakh with one word of a difference. Ksiv la'anoso, uksiv la'chaloso. If you have, which you probably all have, the Torah or Shalim on the side, just look at Kaf Dalet and Kaf Vav. You have that one pasuk that's in Sefer Shmuel, and it has that pasuk says in it, "V'lo yusifu b'nei avala anosa." The enemies won't torture them anymore. And the next pasuk, which is from Divrei Hayamim, it's exactly the same pasuk word for word. V'samti makom la'am Yisrael nitati v'shachein tachtav, except it says "V'lo yusifu b'nei avala." Chaloso or livvaloso. Actually, in mine it looks like livvaloso, but the Gemara says lechaloso. We're going to go with lechaloso. Lechaloso means to destroy. So one says that if you daven in a makam kavua, we're talking about davening in the Beis Hamikdash. So one says that when they have the Beis Hamikdash and they pray there, the enemies will no longer torture them. The other one will say that enemies will no longer destroy them. Why is there that change of that word? The Gemara answers, "Batchila la'anoso." In the beginning of the time of the Beis Hamikdash, when it was first built, it was in order that it would be so powerful, the effect of their davening by the Beis Hamikdash, that no enemy would oppress them, bother them, start up with them, anything. And that's what happened. But ulevasof, but in the end, says Rashi, when they ended up sinning during the days of the Beis Hamikdash, so, and now there was a gzeirah upon them to suffer. So their tefillah in the Beis Hamikdash was still effective, very effective. But it was only effective to stop them from being destroyed. It no longer stopped them from being oppressed. It stopped them from being destroyed. So also stam, there's an important cloud to take out from that, which is brought down, which is when you daven a lot, a lot, a lot. Even if you don't get exactly what you want, you don't realize it could be that Hashem couldn't give you exactly what you wanted, but you took your tefillah towards that concept, towards that idea, and saved it for something else similar to that. So they were davening that they shouldn't be bothered by the enemies. The enemies are bothering us. They're bothering us. They're bothering us. But they don't realize Hashem is using the tefillah not to be bothered by the enemies, and it's actually stopping them from destroying them. They were deserving to be destroyed, but because of the power of tefillah by the Beis Hamikdash, it saved them from being destroyed, even though they were davening not to be bothered. V'amar b'yochanan b'shem b'shem ben yochai. G'dola shimusha shel Torah yotem milimuda. Wow. In light of knowing that Talmud Torah k'neged kulam, and learning Torah is like all the mitzvos, and now we even say, G'dola shimusha shel Torah, serving a Talmud Chacham, following him, watching him, and taking care of him, that's kavod Torah, and that's learning from watching him right in front of you. You're seeing how he keeps the mitzvos. That's the best way to learn how to live a life of Torah, by watching Talmud Chacham and serving him. Shenemar, Po Elisha ben Shafat Asha Yotzak Maim Ayidei Eliyahu. So when they wanted to say what the special trait, the special quality of Elisha was, it was that he poured water on Eliyahu and Navi's hands. What do you mean he was the top Talmud of Eliyahu and Navi? Lama lo nemar. Didn't say that he learned from him. Ela, even greater. Yotzak, he poured water on his hands. Melamed shegedola shimusha yotem elimuda. Carry your Rebbe's svara and bring your Rebbe's water. Do things like that. It's a good. Amalei Rabbi Yitzchak L'Rav Nachman. My time lo asi mar lebeit kenishta l'tzluyei. So Rabbi Yitzchak asked Rav Nachman, why didn't Rebbe come to shul, to daven in shul? Amalei lo yechilna. I couldn't. I was too weak. Rashi says tash kochi. Amalei lichnefei lamar asar velitzle. So why doesn't Rebbe gather? Lichnefei is to gather, like arba kafazaris. Gather together 10 people velitzle and make a minyan. Amalei trichali milta. That also was very difficult for me. So you know what Rebbe should do? Why didn't Rebbe send a shaliach of the tzibur be'inna dematzli tzibura late, and at the time be'inna, at the time that the tzibur davens, let him come velode and tell you velode lemar and tell Rebbe so that you could daven at least at the same time that they're davening in shul. We knew there's an inyan of davening in shul. We knew there was an inyan of davening with a minyan. That we've learned in previous davening. And now we see there's an inyan in davening at the same time that the tzibur is davening. Even if for whatever reason somebody is davening be yechidos and they're not in shul, but at least to look at what time do they daven in shul and daven then. Amalei, my kulehai. What's all that? What's that about? What's the mucker? Amalei, da amra biyochan, bishom bishom nuchai, my dechsiv. Va'ani tfilati l'cha Hashem eis ratzon. You see that there's a time, there's an eis ratzon for davening. When is an eis ratzon for davening? Not only that, you see that it's tfilati. It's written in singular. When he's davening by himself. And there's an eis ratzon when you daven by yourself. Ematai, when is that? Ematai eis ratzon. B'shah shatzibur mispalalin. And that's l'halacha. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina, Amar Mehacha. We actually see this from another mukker. Kor Amar Hashem, be'es ratzon initicha. At an es ratzon, that's when I answer your tfilos. You, meaning in singular, you, not initichem. So you, when you're davening alone, there's an es ratzon. Rabbi Acha, Rabbi Chanina, Amar Mehacha. He sees another pasuk. Hein kel kabir. Kabir Rashi says is referring to the tefillah of the Rabbim. When a lot of people are davening together, Hein Kel Kabir Velo Yimas. He won't be disgusted by it. He'll never reject the tefillah of the Rabbim. Uksiv, and then the pasuk continues and it says, Pad B'Shalom Nafshi Mikravli, that redeem my soul in peace from not letting them start up with me. Mikravli, that krav is a battle. Ki berabim hayu imadi, because there were rabim with me. So you see that there's the tefillah of the rabim when you're with the rabim, and then there's also ki berabim hayu imadi, you daven at the same time as the rabim, and that also is powerful. Tanya mihachi, Rabbi Nassan Omer, minayin she'ena kadosh baruch moes betfilatan shel rabim. We have another brisa. Now it's a brisa that says, where do we see that Kadosh Baruch Hu is in Mois B'Tfilat and Sharab? And Shanemar, Hein Kel Kabir V'lo Yemas, Uksiv Padol B'Shalom Nashi Mikravli. Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu, Kala Osek B'Torah B'Gemilas Chasadim U'Mispalal Ematzibor. If somebody does the following three things, he's Osek in Torah, he learns Torah, he involves in himself in Chesed, active Chesed, and he davens with a minion, Ma'ala ani olav kilu. I consider him. He's in Shemayim. This is the category that he's under. Ki'ilu p'da ani li. He redeemed me. Because when we're in Galus, Hashem is in Galus. There's Galus Hashchina. Imo anoki b'tzara. He redeems me. Ulabanai and the Jewish people. Mi bein umos ha'olam. From the nations of the world. Imagine, like, the guy that saves somebody from being held captivity. The person that was held in captivity has so much for every karza tov to him. A karza tov was saying, I have a karza tov to those that redeem me. And who is considered redeeming me and my children? You save some of these kids from galus. How much a karza tov you have the guy that saves your kids from galus? So Hashem says, that's what you're doing. You're saving me and my children from being held in captivity. When? You're osek in Torah, chesed, and daven with a minyan. I want that. Amar Ish Lakish. Kol mi sheyesh lo beis hakneses be'iro. Ve'eino nichnas sham lehispala. Anybody that has a shul in his community and he doesn't go there to daven, nikra shachein ra. He's considered a bad neighbor. That's a bad name. You never want the word ra attributed to you. And here it would be. Shenamar kamar Hashem al kol shcheinai haroim, on my bad neighbors hanogim benachla, that they hurt the nachla, the inheritance. Asher Hinchalti es Ami es Yisrael, the inheritance that I gave down to my nation, to Klai Yisrael. The context of the pasuk is referring to Eretz Yisrael, but we're going to soon see that you could shuls and base midrashes could also be referred to as Eretz Yisrael. In the context of our Gemara, we are referring to it as shuls and base midrashes, even when they're not in Eretz Yisrael. So on my bad neighbors that hurt my inheritance, that hurt my shuls that I gave to my nation Israel, lo od, Ella, somebody that doesn't go to shul, shegorim gullus lo labanav, he brings upon gullus to himself and to his sons. What do you mean? We're in gullus already. I guess you could be even more in gullus. I guess you could be even more susceptible to the suffering that Gullus brings with it. Or maybe also means Tom. There's Gullus for one's home. Like somebody's, God forbid, like they can't live in their house. It's like some terrible leak damage and they have to go move out for a number of months. That's Gullus for them and his family. So why would that be? Because if somebody is not bringing Hashem back to his home and not going to Hashem's home when he's supposed to go to Hashem's home, he's not bringing the Shekhinah there, because when 10 people are in shul, it brings the Shekhinah. He's not doing that. So it's like he's furthering and strengthening the Gullus. So he, Mida Kenege Mida, Gullus comes to him and to his son, Shenamar, Hinani Nocha Me'alad Masam. As the Pasuk had continued, there was talking at the beginning of that previous Pasuk, I'm going to uproot them from the land. Vez Beis Yehuda Atosh Mitocham. Atosh also from the uproot. Amalei le Rabbi Yochanan. They once told Rabbi Yochanan, Ika sabe b'Bavel, there's some very old, old people in Bavel. Very old people in Bavel. Tama. That's a chiddush. He was surprised. Amar, how could that be? I understand in Eretz Yisrael there would be very old people, but how could it be in Chutz Laretz? We say in Shema every day, Leman yirbu yimeichem v'mei b'neichem al ha'adam ha'ksiv. Ava b'chutz Laretz lo. The Pasuk says that what gives you Arichas Yamim? Being Al HaAdama in Eretz Yisrael. In Chutz Laretz you don't get Arichas Yamim. How could there be such old people in Bavel? The Pasuk is completely literal. Kaven the Amrele, when they told him, Mekadme u'machashre the Beit Kenishta, those old men, you know, they're the ones that actually go early to Shul, and they leave late at night, meaning they get there early, whether they're davening, they're learning, but they're in Shul a lot, and they stay in shul later at night also. So then Amar, then he said, ah, hainu da ahani luhu. That's what it is that helped them, ahani, to help them. That's what made them be able to live a long life. And the Marsha says that it makes a lot of sense, because since we know that the time of the Geula, when the Mashiach comes, there'll be a certain stage that all the shuls and the base midrashes of Chutz La'aretz are going to be uprooted from there, and they're going to all come to Eretz Yisrael and be part of Eretz Yisrael, all those shuls and base midrashes. And it makes sense, because we need places that are going to hold everybody and all these communities. And we don't want to leave those shuls behind, I guess, and everybody's going to be in Eretz Yisrael. Why do they need to be there? Because that would be like a bizarre to the shuls, so it makes sense they come here. But that shows, says the Marsha, they actually have a din of Eretz Yisrael. When you go back, hopefully it shouldn't have to happen. If you go back to Chutz La'aretz, you know that whenever you go to Beis Midrash, and whenever you go to Shul, and you're davening and you're learning, you're in Eretz Yisrael. That's how you get back to Eretz Yisrael. You could visit Eretz Yisrael by going to the Shul and learning. That's like Shul. And the Pasuk, which says, Arichas Yam Al Ha'adama, applies to the people who are sitting in Shul. That gives you Arichas Yamim. Kedam Rabbi Shur ben Levi, Labane, like Rabbi Shur ben Levi advised his sons, Kadimu v'chashichu, early and late, the idol of Beit Kenishta, and go to the shul early, early and late. Kihechi, in order that, the torchu chaye, in order that you should be lengthened your life, in order that you should have a long life. I'm Rabbi Achab, Rabbi Chanina, Mikra, from what pasuk do we see this though, that you get long life by being in the shuls and the base midrashes? Ashrei Adam Shomea Li, Lishkod Al Dal Tosai Yom Yom. Fortunate is he that listens to me and is diligent at my doors, the doors of Hashem's homes, every day. Lishmor mezuzas p'tachai, or pitri, that in order and guard the mezuzas, the doorposts of the entrances to my shuls and my beis midrashes. Uksiv esrei, and right afterwards it says ki motzai matzachayim, those that find me, because the Shekhinah dwells in these places. Those that find me matzachayim, they find life. They get arichas yamim. Life in this world and in Olam Haba. Amar Rav Chisda, now that we're on this pasuk that refers to these two doors, Lishmor mezuzas p'tachai. Those that are cautious and careful with the doors of the shul. What's this focus on the doors? So there's actually a din in the Shulchan Aruch from this Gemara, Amar of Chisda. La'olam yikanes adam shnei p'sachim b'ezek haneses. A person should always enter into the shul through two doors. What? What if my shul doesn't have two doors? Shnei p'sachim sakadaitach? Two doors? That really what you mean? No, Ela Ema, this is what he means. Shir shnei p'sachim. He should go into the shul and amount of two doors, the width of two doors, is Rashi, v'achar kach yispala, and then he should daven. And the Shulchan Aruch brings down a few different opinions of the Rishonim, and we hold of all of them l'halacha. One is that a person shouldn't daven right by the entrance to the shul, right by the door, because it looks like you want to get out, you're just waiting for it to be over already, you don't really want to be there, and there are certain shuls that there's certain places you could stand that really look like you just don't want to be there. You're waiting to get out of it, and that's wrong. And that also is a lach. You have to enter the shul two p'tachim lengths into the shul, which I think the Shulchan Aruch says is shmona t'vachim, eight t'vachim. The Shulchan Aruch also brings down one of the Rishonim's opinion of passing zalacha. But if you have a makam kavu and shul right by the door, I don't know if my makam is right, but it's that close. But if somebody could have a makam right by the door. But that's okay, because everyone knows that's his makam kavua, and he's not trying to get out. That's just where his makam is. Another pshat that we should bring down that's brought down la'alacha is when you enter shul, don't start davening right away. Wait the amount of time of two p'tachim, which is, I guess, the amount of time of walking that amount of space. Once you get to your seat, you have to wait a certain amount of time. I'm not sure what that shir is, but it's not to right away daven, but to, like, gather your composure and focus yourself. And then start to daven. I don't think we're talking about a long period of time, but like a certain basic amount of time, not to immediately start.
It's a way to daven.
Yeah, worth of time. And the another Rishon says that the pshat is because when you daven by the door, then you see things, you see the Rishis HaRabim and things going on outside, and it's distracting to your davening. So first of all, we learn out from there that you can't daven by anywhere that you could see outside and all these distracting things going on. But also, if by the doorway there wouldn't be any commotion going on, and it's not by Rishis HaRabim, it's by right at, like, but nothing going on out there, so then it wouldn't be a problem. Now that we, I think that the reason why the next Gemara is brought, you might have a different pshat and you could be right. I just made up for myself the following pshat is that in this flow of the next Gemara, they're going to end up quoting the pasuk Kimotzaim Matzachayim. Those that find meat find life. So I thought that because of that pasuk, that this whole next piece of Gemara comes up. But maybe you'll have a different pshat why we have this. So the pasuk says in Tehillim, Al Zos Yispala Kol Chasid Eilecha Le'es. Mitzo. One thing that a person always needs to daven for, a chassid always daven for, is that when a certain time comes that he's going to need something, mitzo, that thing, he finds it right away, that it's available for him at the time that he's going to need it. Rashi says, Yispal le'es mitzo, Yispal le'shiyehu mitzuyin lo kashi itzdarech. You have to daven now for the following five things that we're going to talk about, that when the time comes that they happen, you'll get what you need right away. And now we'll explain what that means as we read the examples. Amar Rabbi Chanina, Wes le'es mitzo, zo isha, a wife, already now, a 10-year-old, a 5-year-old, could start to daven that when the time comes, I should meet the right zivug. You definitely should be davening for that already. It's mamish right around the corner, mitzvah for you. But also, you could already start davening for your kids, shiduchim. You should daven, you should have kids. Your kids should be tzaddikim, and your kids should have shidduchim easily. You don't wait till then and then cram it. Why? I don't know. Maybe the reason is because it might require a lot of tefillos, so start getting them in now. You don't want it, because let's say somebody needs 10 years of tefillos, right? Like, it took a while for Yitzhak and Rivka to have kids, and they needed a certain amount of years to daven for it. It took Avram Avinu 100 years. So if Avram went to start, and the Midrash says, sometimes it takes 100 years for a tefillah to be answered. Let's say Avraham Avinu wouldn't have davened for it already from the beginning. Then that 100 years could have lasted even longer. So start davening now. Mitzvah Shem, it's 100 seconds, not 100 years. But, okay. Shneimar matzah isha matzah tov. You see that the word matzah comes in relation to a wife, so start davening for that already now early. But ma'arav, now side point, like you could imagine this in like brackets. Don't put it in brackets because no gemara should be put in brackets. Or the gemara don't put it in brackets, but imagine it in brackets because it's a side point to the flow. But ma'arav in Eretz Yisrael, ki nasiv inish itata, when somebody would marry a woman, amrle, they would say to him the following. Hachi, amrle hachi, they said to him the following. Matzah amotze. What do you say about the wife that you just married? This is a very common Sheva Brachos Gemara, but I think sometimes they butcher it, and we're going to try not to. Matzah, well, what do they mean when they say matzah or motze? Matzah is referring, it's like a hint, everybody was holding a psukim in Nach, that was just basic. So matzah, everybody knew, was referring to that pasuk in Mishlei that says, matzah isha matzah tova yafek ratzon me Hashem. That, when you find a wife, you found goodness. It's going to be good, and it brings forth ratzon from Hashem. Motzei, everyone knows what that pasuk is referring to. Of course, it's referring to the pasuk in Koheles. Umotza ani mar mimaves es ha'isha. What is more bitter than death? A wife is more bitter than death. So, you know, you could imagine all the jokes people like to make at that part. And they ask the guy, matzah or motze? He's like, which one did you get? Matzah or motze? Now, our Gemara is not a bunch of balabatim. And they're not just asking you, like, what you think they're actually going to ask a chassan right after he gets married. Are you happy with her? Are you not happy with her? Does that make any sense that that's what they would do? And then record that in the Gemara? Obviously not. So what is the pshat matzah matzah? I don't know. I didn't get a chance to look enough into it. One pshat that I vaguely remember is notice the difference in matzah is something that happened in the past, and motzah is something that's happening now. If somebody gets married, and they got married, and then they move on with that. They got married already. This is their wife. This is the one who Hashem gave to me. And they move on with it. This is theirs, just like my kids are mine and my parents are mine. This wife is the one I was supposed to marry. Great, matzah isha matzah tov. If it was something that happened in the past, but motzei, if you're always deciding if you want to be married to your wife, you're always figuring out is she the right one? Is she the one I want to be married to? You stay stuck on that original decision all the time. Then really, your wife is more bitter than death because you haven't fully accepted this is your wife and move on with that already. That's one possible pshat, but. Okay, there's other nice things that could be said. Let's go right to Rabbi Nosson Omer, back to the flow. What is it that you need to dive in for even way before in advance? Rabbi Nosson Omer, le'es mitzo zu Torah. That's referring to davening for Torah. Shnemar, the pasuk of why I think this whole thing was brought. Ki motza'im matzachayim. Those that find me, and where is the Kodesh Baruch Hu? Obviously, that's the Torah, because Kodesh Baruch Hu v'aray suchad. Kodesh Baruch Hu, when the Torah is one. Kodesh Baruch Hu gave himself to us through the Torah. So that's why Motzai, when you find me in the Torah, then you found eternal life. So you see, Matzah is Torah. So you should always daven for your Torah. Don't just daven for your Torah now. Daven that I should be a Talmud Chacham. Daven that I should understand Torah, that I should still be able to learn in my old age. When you're 70, 80, 90, whatever it is, some people's heads become foggy. Daven now already that that shouldn't happen. Rav Nachum Rav Yitzhak Amar, Le'etz Mitzo Zu Misa. Daven now already for a mitzvah Shem after 120 years, but that you should die in a comfortable way. There's a lot of ways of dying, and you have to daven now that I should daven in a comfortable way. Because this is obvious why you need to daven in advance. you don't have a chance once it's happening already. Worry, not this way, not this way. So you got to start already before davening for the way you're going to die. Shneimar. Let me see what pronounces the right way. Lamaves totsaos. Lamaves totsaos. Sounds like there's different ways of death. Tanin amihachi. Chameos ushlosha mine misa nivu ba'olam. There's 903 ways to die that were created in the world. 903 ways to die. Shenemar. Lamaves totsaos. Totsaos begamachia hachi havu. That's what totsaos is, a gamachia. 903. And it's not just stam. It's not a cute vart. It's actually passed down to us that is an important gematria. Kasha shebekulam, the worst way to die is askara. Askara, I don't know if we know for sure what that is in English nowadays, but it has something to do with choking. Something to do with not being able to breathe. it's something that, but it's a disease within the body, not actually being choked. It's a disease where somebody slowly loses their ability to breathe. Something, I don't know, but it's the worst and most painful way to die. Nicha shebekula, and the easiest and smoothest way to die is neshika. Mises neshika, right? Like Miriam had, like Aaron had, Moshe wanted and had. Askara. What? Mises neshika, a kiss from Hashem. Askara. Damya, you know what Askara is like? Ki chizra begvava de amra. Chizra is like a thorny branch being pulled out of a gvava de amra, a bundle, like a clump of wool. Imagine you have like a branch with twigs in it that's stuck in the clump of wool and you have to pull it out. De la achore, when you pull it backwards to get it out of the wool, nashra, some parts of the wool clearly are going to rip off and come along with the branch with the thorns. What it's describing is to when you're pulling the neshama out of such a body, it's not hard. It's very hard to get the neshama out of his body because he's so entrenched in his body. He's so stuck in his body. You can't get the whole neshama out. You're for sure going to leave pieces of it behind, depending on how connected to his body and his physical existence that he was. It's like pulling out a thorny branch from wool. And there's a... The Sfarim talk about that even more painful than Gehenim is something called Chibot HaKever, the pounding of the Kever. I have no clue what it is, and I don't want to know what it is, but it has something to do with, if you want to give a mashal, imagine when somebody loses somebody they really, really love. Somebody they really, really love passes away or goes far away and they're never going to see them again, or somebody thinks they're in love, dating so many years and they break up. It literally tears you apart to pieces, right? Imagine having to leave yourself or what you thought was you. So if your body, the way you looked, what you were able to do, and your talents, and your brain, and how smart you are, and all the muscles you worked on, and how healthy you made sure to eat all the time to make that body perfect, whatever it is, and all your talents, you have to leave that behind. You start to realize that's not me, and you're being separated, your shama is leaving that, that's very, very painful to the extent that somebody felt defined by their body and their physical existence. The Igadamri, some people compare it to kipiture b'fi veshet, like pulling out a rope, piture, from a very small hole. Literally, pi veshet is the hole of a thing like the esophagus, or whatever it is, but it doesn't actually mean the Mepharshim say the esophagus. Rashi brings down, like they used to have by boats, since in the ocean there's a place that can't handle metal. So they didn't want to have metal built into their boats, so they would hold the planks of wood together with ropes. But they had to make the holes small and the ropes really, really thick, so pulling that rope through that hole was really, really hard and difficult. So it's like pulling that rope back out of that hole. That's the pain, that's what the death of Askara is like, a hard, painful death. Neshika, what about the smooth, easy death that the highest tzaddikim are zocher to? Damya ki mishchal benita mechava. It's like pulling out a hair from milk. Smooth, easy, nothing left behind, very easy.
Like Yaakov.
And what?
It's like Yaakov.
Yaakov died also.
Yeah, there's like
taking it. Right. Yeah, yeah, it's like, yeah, exactly. Because when somebody, their body isn't, it's just their clothes, it's not them. They always live like they were their neshama. It's not painful. They'll leave behind. It's like when you throw something on the garbage. It doesn't bother you. It's like, and finally, you have to throw out that undershirt. It's too worn out. You throw it out. You won't feel pained by that. That's what it's like for them to daven. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, le'es mitzo, zu kvura. That, to daven for a good kvura. To daven for that you should, that either that you should have a kvura, you should know, it's so horrible. But they said in the news that in Eretz Yisrael this year, almost 200 people were found. The way they were found that they died is that horrible stenches were coming from their apartment because of some old person living alone. And finally they had people break in and they found this person died who knows how many months ago, and the body is deeply in the process of decaying for a long time already. And they said they had only 200 cases like that in Eretz Yisrael this year. So the person has to daven. First of all, they should even have a burial, and that the burial should be close to their death. It's considered painful for the neshama to not be buried, so the sooner the burial happens, the better. And obviously, being buried in Israel is a big schus, so sometimes that might be worth it, I don't know. But also, that the burial should go the way in a good way. Amar bichinina mikra, what's the pasuk for this? Hasmechem elai gil yasisu ki yimtzu kever. They're happy and rejoice because they got the right good kever. Amar Rabba bar of Shila. That's what people mean when they say liboy inish rachame. A person has to beg Hashem afilu ad zibula basraisa shalma. That even until the last shovelful, Basraisa says last zibula shovelful shalma. That should be with peace. The last shovelful when filling up the grave, daven up until that last shovelful. You have to be concerned that it should go smooth and well. There was an unbelievable story that happened in Yerushalayim a couple of years ago where. The Chevra Kedisha got the cemetery to bury this guy that just died. And they found that a mistake was made, that the Arab diggers dug the wrong spot. They dug the place where his wife would one day supposed to be buried, and not him. And it's a problem. You can't just put him in it now because they're makbid in Yerushalayim that you don't have a man and a woman buried next to each other other than a husband and wife. So you have to have two other women next to each other, two other men. So they couldn't put him in there because it was some other woman on the other side of him. So they had to fill back up the kever and dig a whole new one. And it was the Chevra Kedisha, the Jews themselves, that had to dig a new kever suddenly. And the son, when he saw that, was like shaking and all shooken up. And they asked him afterwards, why? He said, my father asked me when he wrote his will many years ago. He said, I really want that my kever should be dug by Jews. I don't want Arabs digging my grave. So he said, Dad, there's no way. Like, the Chevra Kedisha doesn't do that. Nobody will agree to do that. They don't. That's Arab work. Like, the Jews, they don't do that. He says, you're not going to help me? The Kodesh Baruch is going to help me then. I'm going to daven for this. And he davened always that the Jew should be the one to bury his kever. And when he got to the kever and he saw that happen, he was like shooken up that his father's tefillos were answered. That's the Gemara. We have a daven for our burial.
Why did he want to
I'm not saying that you should daven that Jews should dig your kever. I don't know what the inin in that is. But you see, he got what he davened for.
It was a Jew that said there was davening for?
Yeah, that he wanted Jews to, yeah. Because Chevra Kedisha don't dig kfarim. Arabs really dig the kfarim. Yeah.
Whenever it says
le'i
matzah, all these things we should daven in advance for?
Yes. Already before. Already now, start. I lost my spot. Sorry. Yeah. Marzutra Amar le'es matzah, last pshat, fifth and last pshat. Zeh beisakise, daven to have a close by bathroom, which Baruch Hashem we all have right now. Wherever we have bathrooms in our where we live. Rashi says that in Bavel it was really, really hard, the bathroom situation. You couldn't just go behind your house over there because it was puddles and water and a mess everywhere. You had to go deep into the field every time you wanted to go to the bathroom. During all that time it was Mabati your Torah, Mabati from being able to learn and Davin and all these things. It was such a pain in the neck. Davin that there should be a bathroom close to you. Amrei B'Maravah in Eretz Yisrael, you know what they said? Ha de marzutra, that pshat of marzutra, adifa mikulu. It's the best of all the pshatim. That's so interesting. You could see people making jokes from this gemara, but the gemara wasn't making jokes. The gemara's not trying to make us laugh right now. So there's obviously some deep hidden secret going on over here. What are they saying? Davin for the bathroom. They just spoke about death, kfura, wife, like all these things. I don't know what pshat is. Could just be the way Rashi says that it was really uncomfortable. And now it just doesn't apply. Baruch Hashem, our tefillos were answered. We all have bathrooms, easily accessible. But I do remember one day seeing a pshat. I don't remember where and what. But that the pshat is like this. And it's going to come up again later in Brachos. That a bathroom is also getting rid of the excess bad stuff that you have. And when you don't have a way to get rid of it easily and accessibly, then you have to carry all that garbage that you have with you. So the goal, in other words, that to make it that I can get rid of the bad parts of me, the things I need to work on very easily and excessive, and it should be accessible, maybe that pshat. But I thought also, I think this is a true pshat. Maybe this is why Eretz Yisrael liked the pshat the most. You could dive in for all these far away things that seem so abstract. And we need to, of course, but a person needs to live every day as a Kodesh Baruch Hu, even just for the basic things. Kodesh Baruch Hu, can you make dinner good tonight? Can you make sure there's enough schnitzel? Kodesh Baruch Hu, can you make sure they don't run out of this? Kodesh Baruch Hu, can you make it that my Chavrusa is alert today? Whatever, ask for just everything that you need, every basic thing. So to daven that you should have a bathroom easily, yes, that's how you're supposed to communicate with Hashem. He's not just, you could talk to him about all of your needs, even your bathroom needs. That, I think, is a mussar to take from this Gemara. Amar le Rava, le Rafam bar Papa. Le Malan Mar, Mehane mile me al yasa da amrit mishme de rabchista be mile de bikinishta. So Rebbe said to Rav from Bar Papa, please Rebbe, tell us, mehani, from those mile me al yasa, from those high lofty words that you say over in Rav Chista's name, that you learn from Rav Chista, about the topic of Beis Kenishta, about the shul, about shul. What do you learn from Rav Chista about shul? Amar lei, hachi amar Rav Chista. This is what Rav Chista said. My dechsiv, what is the pasuk in Tehillim mean when it says, Oev Hashem Sharei Tzion Mikol Mishkanos Yaakov? Kadosh Baruch Hu, what does he love the most from all the Mishkanos Yaakov, from all the Mishkans of Yaakov? What he loves most is Sharei Tzion. What are those Sharei Tzion? I want to know what Hashem loves most. Oev Hashem Sharem Hamitzuyanim Bahalacha Yot Mibate Kinesias Mibate Midrashos. Even more than Hashem loves the shuls, and even more than he loves the Beis Midrashes, which is the Mishkanos Yaakov, the Mishkans of Yaakov, you know what he loves the most? Places that learn Gemara with the purpose of coming and figuring out what the halacha is. When you learn a sugya, when you learn Gemara, the goal isn't just to know the Gemara, but to eventually come to being able to figure out the halacha from that Gemara. That's the highest thing that Hashem loves the most. That's the, what Oevish, that's what the Mefarshim explain of Sharma Mitziyadim Balacha is. It's places that are that the Tzibor gathers, Rashi says, to figure out from the sugyas what halacha should come out of this. And people that learn and read books about how Rabbi Yashav learns and how the Chazan Ish learned, what their style of learning was, it was always to figure out every far out nafkamina, every random situation you could try to figure out what would the Gemara say about that situation, what would be the halacha over there, and figure out what that is. That is the most beloved type of learning to Hashem. V'hainu da'am Rabbi Chiya Bar Ami, Mishmed Ula, it's the same thing like what Rabbi Chiya Bar Ami said in the name of Ula, Miyom Shachar of Beis HaMikdash, Ein Lo L'Kadosh Baruch Hu Ba'olamo Ela Arba Amo Shal Halacha Bilvad. When we had a Beis HaMikdash, the Ashras HaShechina was most found in an intense way in the Beis HaMikdash. Now, all Hashem has left in this world where He brings His Shechina to that, in that way, is Arba Amo Shal Halacha Bilvad, where people are learning to know what to do and how to live. But Amar, people often quote this Gemara when they also push for the Halacha Yomi, Mishnah Brura Yomi, Daf Yomi and Halacha, all those things to make sure to also do Halacha every day. And Rabbi Yashav said to try to, when you, whoever gives Daf Yomi Shem, to try to point out what the Halacha is as often as possible. But Amar Abaye Meresh, originally, Hava Garisna Begobeta, Umatzlina Bebekinishta. Originally, I used to learn Bego inside my house, and I would daven bebekinish in the shul. Came into Shemana lahada amar b'chia bar ami mishmedula. Since I heard that last thing, that miyom shachar beis hamikdash ein la kashbar b'olama ela abba amar shalacha bilvad. That means that the place that's most similar to the beis hamikdash, where your tefillos are answered, is where you learn. It's where you learn. So then lohava matzlina ela hecha de garisna. I made sure to only daven where it is that I learned. And that when the Gemara Megillah brings this up, it says that he started to learn in shul. So not to think that he started to daven necessarily at home, b'yechidus, where he I didn't get to look into this enough. Anybody says that pshat, but at least there is such a pshat. But the Gemara Megillah tells the same story, but it says that he started to learn in shul. That way, shul also became where he davened. Whenever in yeshiva, that's one of the big milas of yeshiva, that you get to daven where it is that you learn. That's how it has to be. Like you're in yeshiva and you're davening in a Beis Midrash. Stam, in your community, if you have a choice of where to daven, there's a big mila in choosing to daven in a Beis Midrash, in a yeshiva, a place where people learn. Rabbi Ami, Rabbi Asi, Afagav, Dehavaluhu, Tzlesa, Beit Kenishta, B'Tveria, even though they had 13 shuls in Tveria, Lo Matzlu, Ella, Beine, Amude, Hecha, Davu, Garse. The only place where they daven was between the pillars, where they used to learn, meaning not just in the room they learned in, but exactly in the seat they learned in, between the two pillars of the Beis Midrash that held up the ceiling of the Beis Midrash, that's where they would dive in.
What word means place?
Which word means what?
Pillars.
Amude, amud. The Amr Rabbi Chiya.
Does that mean we should dive in, like, where we like learn for Seder?
There is an Indian in that. But obviously, you have to take other things into account. You know, you can't, doesn't give you the right to kick somebody else out if that's where they daven. But Amar Bichia Bar Ami, because also, you can't have it with both chavrusas that way. Everybody gets to daven, because and also we learn in a few different places. You learn with your afternoon chumash, there's like a few things. But yeah, there is something to daven in the spot that you learn in, it sounds like.
You have shot in two pillars that like, that's like where they sat?
I think so. That's, I saw someone bring that. Okay. Va'amar abichia bar'ami mishme de'ula. Ah. Some people really love this Gemara. The Gra says people quote this Gemara, but something you have to know if you're quoting it from your Yetzirah, if you're quoting it from your Yetzer Tov. Gadol Hanana Migiyas Kapov, I think it's changed to Yota Miyresha Mayim. Greater is one that gets Hana'a from the work of their own hand, more than one with Yiresha Mayim. Diluga be Yiresha Mayim Ksiv Ashrei Ish Yoreas Hashem. Fortunate is he that has Yiresha Mayim. Somebody that doesn't have to live off of other people, doesn't need to be supported, doesn't need to accept handouts and ask people to do things for them, but they could take care of themselves. It says by somebody that could do that, Ksiv, Yigia Kapecha Kitochel Ashrecha V'tovlach. If you get the Yigia Kapecha, you eat Kitocha, when you eat the work of your own hands, not only Ashrecha, but also Tovlach. Ashrecha Ba'olam Hazeh. V'tovlach lo'olam haba. U'l'gabe yirishamayim, v'tovlach lo'ksiv bay. It doesn't say v'tovlach. It only says ashrecha. It doesn't say v'tovlach. So you see that the benefit or the enjoyment or the pleasure that one gets is even more from benefiting from the work of their own hands. I wanted to look into this more to be able to give you a more clear pshat, because obviously there's nothing more important than yirishamayim, and we there's more than thousands and tens of thousands of sources for yirishamayim being the utmost thing for a person to have. So how we put, what is it to take out from this Gemara exactly? Other than that, obviously, a person shouldn't, you know, make a plan where they go, where they're going to go around collecting money from people. I don't know. The Marsha talks about it. I just didn't get a chance to look at it before, but you should look in the Marsha if you're very curious. Okay. Just the Gra talks about how often people like to use this Gemara for the wrong reasons, and not to do that. V'amar abichia bar'ami mishmei de'ula. La'olam yadur adam b'makom rabo. A person should live near his Rebbe, in the same neighborhood, same place, nearby his Rebbe. Why? Shekoz man sheshimi ben gera kayam. Lo nasa shlomo as bas paro. As long as Shlomo Amelech's Rebbe, Shimi ben gera, was still alive, Shlomo didn't marry Bas Paro, which he was punished for. But you see that being in the vicinity of his Rebbe kept him from doing that. You have a certain year from the Rebbe to do something wrong, it keeps you in line. So it's a good place to live in a place. Sometimes people, I don't want to live over there. It's there. I feel uncomfortable if I do this, if I act like that. But yeah, but if it keeps somebody in line, then it's good to live in a place that keeps you in line. V'hatanya al yador. But we have another brisa that says, don't live near your Rebbe. Stira. Live near him or don't live near him. Lokasha. Had the kayifle, had the lo kayifle. One is if you feel humbled before him, if you accept what he says, you accept his tochacha, then you should live near him. But if you reject him, you don't listen, you don't care what he wants you to do or how what his expectations from you would be, you don't care, then it's dafka not good to live near him. Then you shouldn't live near him. Ramaji says, why shouldn't you live near him? Because it's better to be b'shogig than to be b'mezid. So don't live near the... If you plan on not listening to him anyway, then it's better not to know what he has to say if you're not going to listen to him anyway. And sometimes it makes somebody want to be even more rebellious when they see in their face what they're supposed to be doing. It makes them go the opposite direction. So it's not good for them to live near the Rebbe. I think it's also important that when you are Rebbes, whether you're going to be a Rebbe for Talmidim because you'll be a Rebbe, or a Rebbe for your children, or whoever it is, if you know that the Talmid doesn't want to hear what you have to say, then don't tell him. If he doesn't want to listen to what you have to say, then you're not allowed to tell him. You're making his situation worse. His halacha is not to live near you. Now don't shove your face in his face and tell him what to be doing. It's not a good tactic, and a lot of guys go more off the derek because the Rebbe's in his face. Amar Rav Huna bar Yehuda, Amar Rabbi Menachem, Amar Rabbi Ami. Mai dechsi v'ozve Hashem yichlu. Those that leave Hashem will be destroyed. Uh-oh, I don't want to be that. Who is this? Zeh maniach sefer Torah v'yotzei. Somebody that leaves when the Sefer Torah is opened. When the Sefer Torah is opened, you're not allowed to leave and walk out of shul. It's like Hashem is talking to you and talking to everybody and you're walking out in the middle. That's Ozvi Hashem. You're walking away from Hashem. Whenever somebody reads from the Torah, it's Hashem talking to you right now. Rabbi Abao, Nafe bin Gavra l'Gavra. But Rabbi, this is, we're qualifying. Rabbi Abao would leave between Aliyahs. Because that's what they close the Sefer Torah and they cover it. Between Aliyahs, then somebody could walk out. Bai Rav Papa. Rav Papa asked, Bein Psukah l'Psukah Mahu. It used to be that between the Psukim, they would have somebody say the Targum. They would say out loud the Targum Unklus. And there's a place in Israel, Moshav Tarom. It's a Temani place. When you dive in there, when they read the Torah, somebody right after the one reads a Pasuk says in Aramaic. And then he reads the next Pasuk and they say in Aramaic. So between the Pasuk and when they sing in Aramaic, could I go out then? Mahu, what's the din? Teku. We don't know. Stuck with that question. Rav Sheshes Mahadar Ape Vagoris. He would turn his back. He must have heard Kriyas Torah already. He turned his back and he would learn when they read from the Sefer Torah. Amar, and he said, Anan Bididan, Vinu Biditu, we're doing what we're doing, they're doing what they're doing, and that's okay. Amar Avhuna Bar Yehuda, Amar Rabbi Ami, La'olam Yashlim Adam Parshiyosef Imatzibor Shnayim Mikra Ve'echad Targum, Rosh Tevo Shmos. And a person should always, in Sahalacha, it has a special siman in the Shulchan Aruch, that you should always complete the Parsha along with the Tzibor. By the time they get to Kriyas HaTorah, or at least before you start your meal, latest by Mincha on Shabbos when they're starting to read the new Parsha, to make sure to finish Shnai and Mikra, the Pasuk twice, Vecha Targum. Vafilu, even Psukim, that are so basic, just listing names of places like Ataros, Vedivon, even that, where there is no Targum, and just a repetition of the Pasuk, also that you have to do Shnei Mekavecha Targum, read the Pasuk three times. Shekol HaMashlim Parshi Yosef Ematzibur Ma'arichin Lo Yamav Ushnosav. Anybody that completes the Parshios along with the Tzibur, he has long days and long years. What's Yamav Ushnosav? Different pshatim, you can imagine on what that would be. Rabbi Barabaye Savar La Ashluminu La Parshiyata De Kula Shata B'Male Yoma De Kippure. He wanted to complete all the parshas of the whole year on Erev Yom Kippur. On Erev Yom Kippur. I didn't get a chance to look up. Is it that he fell behind? It's hard to imagine. And then he wanted to catch up in Erev Yom Kippur. That's always a picture. The pshat that I imagined to myself, but then I realized, no, that's just us. Like, it doesn't say that he was running late. He maybe just wanted to make sure to finish by the end of the year and do it all then. Whatever it was, he wanted to finish an Erev Yom Kippur. But Tanale Chia Barav Midifti, but then Rav Chia Barav Midifti taught him, because it says about the Erev Yom Kippur, the night of Tishrei, Va'anitem Anafshotechem B'tisha L'chodesh Ba'erev. You have to already fast, right? Oppress your nefesh on the ninth of the month at night. V'chibat tisha mitanim. What, we fast on the ninth of Tishrei, but tenth of Tishrei of Tishrei is Yom Kippur. V'lo ba'asar mitanim. Ela lo malacha kala ocha v'shosa b'tshii. Whoever eats on Erev Yom Kippur, ma'ala lavakosuv ki'ilu misana chi v'asiri. It's considered like he fasted 2 days straight. Even though it's an easy mitzvah, you have to eat. What a great mitzvah you have to eat. It's a mitzvah to eat on Erev Yom Kippur. The more you eat, you're getting a mitzvah when you're eating. And the Rishonim all give different reasons why there would be a mitzvah over here to eat on that whole day. And are women chayev, are women putter? Also is a question, but the Mishnah Berurah brings down that it's considered like you did a hard mitzvah of fasting. It's considered, even though it's an easy mitzvah, they give you credit like you did a hard mitzvah, and that's why the Torah, the Pasuk says, fast on the ninth, because when you eat on the ninth, it's considered like you're fasting on the ninth.
So then what about the reading the Sefer Torah before Yom Kippur? Sealed, it's fine.
No, so he's saying, so you don't have time. He's saying to him, right? So you don't have time to be finishing one of your parshios then, because you need to be eating. You can't just spend the whole day in the Beis Midrash. You need to eat. So, Sever la'akduminhu. Rashi says la'akduminhu. Let's look at Rashi. L'sadar kala parshis b'shabes achas o b'shtei shabbasos. He wants, okay, fine. So I want to be ahead of the tzibur. I won't fall behind them. I'll be ahead. In one Shabbos, I'll do like the whole Sefer Shmos now, you know, or whatever. I'll be ahead of them. Amalei Husaba, which usually we say is referring to Eliyahu Navi, Tanina, but we have a brisa that says, Ubilvad shelo yakdim v'shelo ya'acher. You can't do the Parsha earlier than Tzibor, and you also can't do the Parsha later than Tzibor. You have to be with them. Gita Amalehu, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Lebane, like Rabbi Shimon ben Levi said to his sons, Ashlimu parshiotaychu imat zibur, shnayim mikav echa targum. He actually said three pieces of advice to them. That was one of them. Two, vihizaru bavridim k'Rabbi Yehuda. This is the din from Chulin having to do with shechting chickens. Be careful when it comes to the veins of the chicken. When we get to Chulin and Mitzvashem, we'll learn more what that would mean. The Tanan Rabbi Yehuda Omer, ad sheyishchot et avridim. When you shecht, it's not similar to other types of animals when you shecht the bird. You also have to be careful to shecht the vridim. Rashi says, k'dei sheyetze kol hadam. Makes all the blood. V'lo amar kein ele ba'ov hoel ve... So leu kulo ke'echad. What, since they would roast it all like one, they want to get rid of all the blood now? So it was a certain way of shechting. They got rid of more blood. I'm not sure what the metzias is. V'hizaru b'zakein sheshachach tamudo machmas onso. The third piece of advice that he gave his sons is, be careful with somebody old who used to be a Talmid Chacham, used to know a lot of Torah, but because he's old, ba'ones, he's old, so his head is foggy now, he forgot his limud. Shachach tamudo, he forgot his Torah learning. It's not clear anymore, he's so old. Machmas onso is ba'ones that he forgot his learning. Be careful with honoring him properly. Damrinan, because we say that luchos, vishivrei luchos, munachos ba'aron. In the Aron Kodesh, in the Kodesh Kodashim, was both the first broken set of luchos and the second not broken set of luchos. So you see that even something that once was a luchos but then was broken is treated with the same dignity and kavod, and therefore a broken Talmud Chacham is to be treated with the same dignity as had he been a Talmud Chacham. And the truth is, it makes a lot of sense, because Chachmas HaTorah isn't connected to your brain, because your brain you leave behind anyway in the kever. You don't get to take your... A genius of Torah but didn't work hard in Torah loses it. It stays in the kever and it decays with the rest of his body. Only what the Torah that made its way to your neshama, because you toiled on it, you take with you to Shemayim. So his neshama is still with him. So you're giving cover to what his neshama still has, all the Torah that he learned. So he's still the luchos. Amalehu Rav Lebane. Rav also gave advice to his sons. He said, "Kishatem chotchem basar, when you cut meat, al techatchu al gav hayad, don't cut it on your hand. Cut it onto the table, don't cut it onto your hand. Iga de ame, some say, misham sakana." You could imagine, where it's dangerous, maybe he's going to cut off a finger or a hand. Viga de ame, some say, no, misham kilko seuda, they shouldn't have ruined the seuda. Maybe they'll just give themselves like a paper cut and squirt some blood into the sal, into the meat. It also like ruins the food. Rashi says, "Viyamis esamasupin." It's going to be disgusting to the people eating there. Don't do something that's disgusting for the people that are eating there. Another piece of advice. Listen to this: "Va'alteshvu amitas aramis." Don't sit on the bed of Armenian. Okay. Good question. The Gemara will also ask. Va'altavru achorei beis hakneses b'sha shatzibur mispalim. And don't walk behind the shul. That's where the doors of the shul were. If you remember, we said the doors of the shul were in the back. Don't walk past the doors of the shul and not go in when the tzibur is davening. And that halacha is brought down in the Shulchan Aruch. Also, we're going to discuss that a little bit more. The Gemara is going to go back to it.
What if you already davened?
Also, you can't, because it looks like you don't care about davening. But we're going to see there's exceptions for when that wouldn't apply. Va'al teshvu amitas aramis. Why not? You can't sit on the bed of an Armenian. Ikudame, some say, really what this means is, lo tignu below kriyat shema. Don't go to sleep without saying kriyat shema lamita. Why is that called mitas aramis? Because now your bed is like the bed of a guy, says Rashi. Without Kriyat Shema, it's like the bed of a guy. Okay. The Ben Yishchai had a nice pshat having to do with make sure not to say all those mizmorim and tefillos that the mazikim and the shedim don't bother you and the malachim protect you. Don't say them in Aramaic in your own spoken tongue. Although you might think, oh, it doesn't matter, I was already yotze Kriyat Shema, but now I could say it in my own tongue because the malachim don't understand Aramaic. And you want the malachim to protect you at night and stand guard over your bed. So don't say them in Aramaic. I think the Ben Yishchai says something like that. V'yigidamre, some say, no, this is the pshat. Delo tinsabu giyorta. Don't marry a giyoret. Now, it can't mean not to marry a giyoret because you're allowed to marry a giyoret. And the Gemaras that say that it's good to marry a giyoret. And we know that a lot of great people in Tanakh marry giyorets. So they point out that the one giving the advice was a Kohen, right? Rava was a Kohen, so he's telling his children, make sure not to marry Giyoret, because they're not allowed. V'igda Amre, third pshat, Aramis Mamish. No, we're actually talking about an Armenian woman. Because Mishum Maisa de Rav Papa, and because of the story, the famous story that happened to Rav Papa that almost sat in an Armenian woman's bed, to Rav Papa Azal Legabe Aramis, he once went to an Armenian lady's house. And she owed him money. He went to go collect money from her. Hotzia lo mita. She took out a bed. Like a mita was also what they used to sit on. Amala shave. Sit down. I'll go get you the money. You sit. Amala eini yoshev achatag bi esamita. I'm not sitting until you pick up the bed. Let me see what's under this. Hagbiha esamita umatusham tinok meis. Picked up the bed and he saw there was a dead baby there. She was trying to frame him and make it look like he crushed the baby. If she would sit down and that way she wouldn't have to pay him back because she would get him in trouble. Look what Armenian women do. Do not sit in an Armenian woman's bed. Learn from her papa. Mikan amru chachamim aser leishev amitas aramis. So interesting. It's aser. It became a halacha. It's not just good advice. It's aser to sit on the bed of an Armenian. So interesting. I looked at the Ben Yishchai. I didn't see more there. Va'atavru achorei beis hakneses b'shah shad tzibur mispalim. Don't walk in the back of the shul and not go in when they're davening. And the Mishnah Berurah, I think, brings down not just Shmona Esrei, even when they're in other parts of davening, not to not go in. M'seyeleh l'Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi. Damar Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi. This supports what Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi said. Asur lo la'adam shi'avu achorei beis hakneses b'shah shad tzibur mispalim. You're not allowed to walk behind a shul when they're davening and not go in. Amar Abaye, now we're coming to qualify it, Sammy, don't worry. V'lo amran ela deleka pitcha achrina. That's only when there's no other door. Ava ika pitcha achrina, if the shul has another door. Leislanba, we don't have this issue. Why? Because people could always think, oh, he's probably going to go in the other door. They're not assuming that you don't care about davening. V'lo amran ela deleka bekenishta achrina. That's only when there isn't another shul. But if it's a very normal thing that he could be going to a different shul, if there is another shul, leislanba, we don't have a problem because obviously he's probably going to that other shul. Vlo amran ela delo dori tuna. It's only when he's not carrying, dori is to carry, tuna is a package, like a load. If he's carrying a load, people understand, okay, that's why he's not going to the shul. Not because he's not makabel, oh, malchus shemayim, he doesn't want to daven, he doesn't go to shul, something like that. No, he's busy, he's carrying something, he can't go to shul right now. Velo rahit, and he's not running. If he's running, then it looks like he's really, really busy. And they understand he's not against going into shul, he's just busy. Velo manach tefillin, and he's not wearing tefillin. If he's wearing tefillin also, that shows he is mekabel al malchus shemayim. Just for whatever reason, he's not going to shul right now. Va'ikachad mehanach, but if there's any one of those situations, either he's wearing tefillin, or he's running, or he's carrying a package, leislan ba, then the issue doesn't exist, and it's okay to walk past the shul. But we do see not to do a situation that looks like you're not going to daven. Whatever that means. Not do something that looks like you're not going to, not that you're not going to daven, that you're not going to daven with the tzibur. Not to do a situation that makes it look like you won't daven with the tzibur. Tanya, Rebbe Braisa, Amar Bikiva, B'shlosha Dvarim, Oy Vani Esha Medim. I don't know what that would be in English. The Medians. You know, we always said, we talk about paros or madai. This is madai in plural. So I praise, I love three things that they do. You have to look at the gaim. You looked at the nation of madai. Three things to learn from them. There are things you could learn from the Gaim too, and we take those out and we leave the rest. Kishachotchin et habasar in choten el agabe ha-shochan. I like that about them. When they cut their meat, they do it the right way on the table. Kishenoshkin, when they kiss each other, ein noshkin ela agaveyad. They kiss the back of the hand. They don't kiss on the cheek. They don't kiss on the lips. Rashi says, why? Because of the rope, because of the spit. Is that nice to put spit on somebody's face? Ukishayoetzin, when they give advice, ein yoetzin ela basada. They go to a private area, to the field, and to give advice, Rashi says, because people say the walls have ears. You never know. And if you're talking about something important that you don't want anybody to hear, then be extra cautious and go far away. Don't take a chance. And he loved that about how the Madai used to behave. Interesting how he found those specific behaviors. Amar of Adar Bar Hava, Maikra, Vayishlach Yaakov Vayikra, L'Rachel L'Leah Hasada El Tzona. When Yaakov wanted to talk to Rachel and Leah about how it's time to leave love on their father's house, he took them to the field to talk to them about it. So we see, that's obviously, and that's how we see in our Torah also something similar to what Madai's people did. Tanya, Amar B'Gamliel, B'shlosha dvarim oy v'niyas ha-parsiyim. Something you can learn from the Persians. Hein tsnuin v'achilasan. They eat in a tsnua way. There's an inyan to eat, but tsnias. I don't know what would be included, but I know what's not included. Utsnuin v'beis ha-kiyim. I'll tell you one thing that makes no sense, and I think this Gemara, I can't even believe this exists, like, I can't believe these people do this. It's the strangest thing that got picked up in the last couple of years, that they take pictures of their food.
Yep.
I don't think that's being sanu with the food. That's being mefarsim my food and making a whole inya. Like, dude, you used to take pictures of people, and I take pictures of food too. Tsanua with the way they eat. Tsanua b'beis ha-kise. They're tsanua in the way they go to the bathroom. We're going to learn hilchos b'beis ha-kise and how you go to the bathroom in a tsanua way. And they did some of those halachos. They were tsanua. They also tsanua in the way that they were with their wife in the bedroom. And one day also, when the Gemara is talking about that, we'll see what that would mean. Ani, I just want to pronounce this the right way, the pasuk. Where is this? Ani tzivesi lemekudoshai, gam karati gibori la'api alize gavasi. So ani tzivesi lemekudoshai. Tani Rav Yosef says on that pasuk, Elu ha-parsiyim ha-mekudashim u-mezumanim le-gehenim. Don't think that we want to be like the Persians. We just want to take out those three behaviors. But you should know that they're all ready and prepared to go straight to Gehenim when they die. The Persians, I guess, were not treating Torah and Jews the right way. And they were Rishayim, so they're going to go to Gehenim. But there's still even people like them. There was what to learn from them. Rabbi Gamliel Omer, back to the Mishnah. Back to the Mishnah, Rabbi Gamliel said that you have until Alos HaShachar for the Sov Zman Kriyat Shema Sha'arvis. And Gamliel was the one that said you have until Alos HaShachar. I'm Rabbi Yehuda, I'm Rabbi Shmuel. Halacha, Karam Gamliel. Halacha, the Gamliel that B'diyevet you have until Alos HaShachar. But still, L'chatchili, you should try to say it before Chatzos. Tanya, we have a Brisa. Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai Omer. Shimon ben Yochai said, Pa'amim Sha'adam Kori Kriyat Shema Shtei Pa'amim Balayla Achas. Kodim she'ala emor ha-shachar, v'achas l'achas she'ala emor ha-shachar, v'yotze behem yidei chavaso, achas ha-yom, v'achas ha-layla. Sometimes it can happen that somebody reads Kriyat Shema one time, right after the other, twice in a row, in one night, b'layla achas, one night, one before Alos HaShachar, one right after Alos HaShachar, and with them he's yotze, his chiyav of Kriyat Shema shel arvis, and Kriyat Shema shachar is one after the other. Haguf Akasha, we have a stira within the words of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai himself. Amris, he said, Pam Adam Kore Kriyat Shema Shtei Pamim Balayla, two times in one night. Amma, from his lashon, it sounds like La'achar Shiyala Amud HaShachar Lailahu. After Alos HaShachar, that's still called night. Because you read Kriyat Shema twice, once before Alos HaShachar, once after. And he said, I read them twice, you could read them twice in one night. So you're calling after Alos, night. V'hadar Tani, and afterwards he teaches, and he himself says, Yotze Behem Yidei Chavaso Achas Shalyom V'achas Shalayla. Now he's calling Alma Yimamahu, then after Alos HaShachar is calling Yimama. So what's going on? Lo, no, it's not a stira. Le'olam Leil Yehu. It is called Laila after Olos HaShachar for other halachos. Not everything you could do during the day, you could already start to do after Olos HaShachar. It would still be called Laila. V'had Dekari Le'yom, but why does he still refer to it as Yom when it comes to Hilchos Kriyat Shema? De'ika Inche Dekaime Behishaita. Because there are people that get up at that hour, and we said that Kriyat Shema is dependent on B'Shapacha Uvekumecha, so it's not necessarily just dependent on Yom and Laila. So this is already a time of Bekumecha. So for that, it's called Yom. Amar of Acha Bar Chanina, Amar Bishua ben Levi, Halacha Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai. The halacha is like what Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai just said over here. But Ika Demasne Lahadar of Acha Bar Chanina, but there are some that teach that when Rav Acha Bar Chanina paskined like Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, he passed it on a different brisa of Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai. Not on that brisa of Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, which Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai said in his own name, where the chilek was before Los HaShachar and after Los HaShachar. But he said the halacha is like Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai says in Aha, on the following, Titania. Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, Omer Mishum Rabbi Akiva, he said in the name of his Rebbe, Rabbi Akiva, a little different. Pamim sha'adim kore kriyat shma shtei pamim bayom, achas kodem anetzachama, v'achas la'achar anetzachama. Not alos, but netzachama. V'yotze behem yidei chavaso, achas shayom v'achas shalayla. And that it could be yotze kriyat shema of the layla and the yom, one after the other, before and after netz. Haguf v'kashya, the stira within itself. Ame pam shadim kore kriyat shema shtei pam b'yom. So you're calling it yom. Ama kodam and netzachama yimamu. Before netz, it's called yom already. For other halachas. V'hadr tarni. And then he continued, and he said in the name of Rabbi Akiva, Yotze behem yidei chavaso, achas hayom v'achas halayla. We're calling that the time before Netzachama, when it's a Kriyat Shema shalayla, and you're calling it Laila. Amalalilahu. You see that it's Laila. Lo, no, it's not a stira. Le'olam before Netzachama yimamahu. It's already yimama. V'hai dekoru leilelia, and that which is calling it Laila when it comes in regards to Hilchos Kriyat Shema in the name of Rabbi Akiva before Netzachama, de'ika inche deganu b'hi shaita, because there are people that are still sleeping then, so it could still be called b'shachpacha, because people are still there are still some people that are sleeping before Netz, some people, so therefore we could still call it b'shachpacha, and midin Kriyat Shema she'arvis you could be yotze before Netz. So it wasn't clear when Rav Acha Bar Chanina passed like Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, whether it was like the first brisa, whether it was passed like Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, and the second brisa in the name of Rabbi Akiva.
Play different.
That's what I'm saying. Am Rabbi Acha Bar Rabbi Chanina, Am Rabbi Shua Ben Levi, Halacha Karabi Shimon Sha'ama Mishum Rabbi Akiva. The halacha is like Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai said in the name of Rabbi Akiva, and that's what Rav Acha said, not what we originally thought that he said. This is what Rav Acha said, and this is the girsa that we have over here, and we'll pick up from over here in Mitzvah Shem tomorrow.